The title of this morning's message is Ready for Orders. And we're going to talk about communications. We're going to talk about really battlefield communication. And really, when you think about communication on the battlefield, you know, it's probably one of the most important aspects of war. You can have the most technologically advanced weaponry. You can have a great strategy. You can have superior troops. But if you don't have communication with headquarters and with each other, then you're in trouble. You're going to get whooped. Because, see, war is very fluid, isn't it? I mean, the battlefield changes. What happened, what the enemy's doing, what you think he's going to do, and all that kind of stuff, all that stuff changes. And lately, you know, the last, gosh, if you think about how far we've come just in the last 50, 60 years with communication and out on the battlefield specifically, you know, we've got, you know, planes now and helicopters and even unmanned planes, drones that send back live feed, just live video, real-time stuff where the commanders back at headquarters can see what's going on right there. They can see where the enemy is. They see what he's doing, which way he's going, how fast he's moving. And then they can issue orders based on that. They evaluate all that and say, okay, here's what we want you guys to do now. Counter them this way and go this way and do that. Well, for us, in the battle that we have, you know, communication is just as important. Not that we need to inform our headquarters of anything. Because, see, our headquarters, heaven, you know, and our commander-in-chief, our top general, the Lord, he already knows. You're not giving him any information when you're praying, okay? He already knows. He knows what's going to happen a million years from now, as well as in 5 minutes. He knows. But see, we need to stay in constant communication because there are those requests that we have, those requisition forms that we need to send up to the Lord. But there's also the things that we need from Him in the way of new orders. Because see, have you ever noticed that God doesn't tell you what He wants you to do 5, 6, 7, 8 steps from now? How He just tells you, do this right now. And that's all. Because, you know, if he told us, okay, here's what I want you to do. And I know this is true in my life. If he said, Tony, okay, I want you to do this now. And then 2 years from now, I want you to go over here. I want you to be doing this. And then I want you to be involved in this ministry over here. And then I want you to do that. And then this. 5 minutes after he finished, I'd be going, what was that over here again? I'd be all messed up. Not only that, we would get distracted. God wants us to do excellence wherever He has us now. He wants us to focus on where He has us now, be effective for the kingdom of God where He has us. And if we knew what He was going to be doing with us 5 years from now, and that's if He doesn't come back by then, and it's getting to look like that, that probably 5 years may not, you know, 5 minutes wouldn't surprise me if He came back then. But we would be thinking about, well, I got to get over here. And we wouldn't be paying attention to what He's given us right now. We would be all consumed with, well, I got to get over here. And we might not do a good job over here. Also, when we're in that place where God has us, and we're obediently serving Him there, well, then there are those lessons that we need to learn while we're there. I look back, and I've been walking with the Lord for 33 years. And I look back at all the different things that God has had me serve Him in, all the different ministries, and it blows my mind how everything that I did, I didn't know what He was going to do. I never thought I would be a senior pastor. No way. You know, I just never thought, not me. And, you know, back 30 years ago when I was an usher, man, this is cool, man. I get to serve the Lord as an usher. And there were so many things that God taught me in that. And then as a prayer room counselor and as a staff counselor and then, you know, as an assistant pastor and all, there were so many things I learned that I look at what I'm doing now, and it's like, man, the Lord has it all together. You know, He prepares us each step of the way. And if He told us what we were going to be doing, we'd get all distracted. We wouldn't pay attention to what we are supposed to be doing. We wouldn't learn what we're supposed to learn. We wouldn't be as effective. But He gives us one thing to do at a time, and that's all we can handle, really. And so we just have to be faithful in doing that, and we have to stay in touch with Him in order for that to happen. If we cut off the communication, then when He has new orders for us, we're going to miss them. And we're not going to be, you know, eagerly awaiting those things. We're going to miss out. And today, as we kind of finish up this lesson in spiritual warfare, we're looking at communication to headquarters, and that's prayer. So look at Ephesians 6, verse 18. And he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The first thing you notice there is he says, praying always. You see that? The very first thing, when he talks about prayer there, and involved in our lives should be constant prayer. Praying always. And that, like we just mentioned, is keeping the lines of communication open. That we're talking with him constantly. That we're ready to receive from him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of the shortest verses of the Bible, says simply, pray without ceasing. See, nonstop praying. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at, you can be praying. You don't have to come down to the church and come here and pray. You could be praying in your car. And when you do, you don't need to bow your head and close your eyes. Please don't. I used to drive a semi for a living. I did that for a lot of years. And it was great because I turned the semi into a seminary. I was able to listen to Christian teachings on the radio all day long. It was just fantastic. But there'd be a lot of times when I just turn the radio off and be able to communicate with my Heavenly Father, be able to pray, pour my heart out, and then also listen for him to speak to me. It was just a great time of praying. And, you know, another place where I get a lot of praying done, see, I'm letting you in on what goes on in my crazy little life. One of the places where I get a lot of praying is in bed. Now, I don't recommend that to everybody. You know, a friend of mine, every time he prays in bed, he always, you know, or if he prays even on the couch and he's like laying down, he's asleep like that. See, my wife, she goes to sleep like that. You know, if you're married, if you've been married for any amount of time, you know how it is where you'll be talking, in my case to my wife, and as you're talking, she falls asleep. You know, that's kind of normal, right? Everybody say, yeah, for you, you're boring, man, and you put her to sleep. But my wife falls asleep so quick, she can fall asleep while she's talking. Figure that one out. There have been times, I mean, several times where I say, yeah, well, what? Finish the sentence. And then, what? And she fell asleep while she was talking, mid-sentence. She is able to go to sleep like that. But me, it takes me minimum half hour to an hour. And so I get a lot of praying done there. I can just lay there. And you can be horizontal in praying too, okay? You can pray. It doesn't matter where you're at. No matter what you're doing, you can be in an attitude of prayer. You can keep your heart to the place where you can be in communication with headquarters. That's what God wants. See, God wants that ability to be able to speak to us at a moment's notice. He knows what's going on, but we don't. We need to be ready to receive from him. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he said that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, we've all known people, Christians, that have lost heart, that have gotten out there and they've given up. And I believe most of the time it's because they weren't in touch with headquarters. They weren't praying like they needed to. They got out there and got isolated. It got burdened down with stuff that they shouldn't have been and had no direction. And then they lost heart. They backslid. They gave up. This is too hard. Well, yeah, that kind of living is too hard. God never intended us as Christians to live that kind of life, isolated from him. He wants us to stay in touch with him. He wants us to communicate with him. He wants to communicate with us. And so prayer is vitally important. But he goes on to say, praying always with all prayer and supplication. It's like, huh? You mean there's more than one kind of prayer with all prayer and supplication? I like the way the NIV translates that part there. It says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Yeah, there's all kinds of prayers. There's all kinds of types of prayers that we can pray. The Bible, you know, doesn't just talk about supplication, which is that asking for things, both for yourself and others, and that's what supplication is. You know, but it's more than just gimme, gimme, gimme. Come on, God, I want this, I want that, you know. And he wants us to be involved in all kinds of prayer, which involves really praise, thanksgiving, unloading our burdens. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, we're not to carry around those burdens. We're to unload them in prayer. We're to take them to our Heavenly Father because he cares for us. Unload them. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious or worry about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God wants to hear from us. There's also prayer for direction, that God wants us to receive direction from him. Paul prayed for the Colossians and really every church that he ministered to. He says in Colossians 1:9, he says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And see, folks, that really gets to the heart of prayer. Is having that spiritual understanding and really the knowledge of his will. Because you know what? Prayer is not about you. Prayer is not about me. It's not about getting my will done. It's about getting his will done. See, if we have the knowledge of his will and we're willing to obey, hey, then that's where we're going to be blessed. That's where we're really going to see our lives come to life in him. As we seek the knowledge of his will. Seek to understand, Lord, what is your will? And we're praying to that end. And like good soldiers, we should be ready to receive new orders. When he directs us in a certain way, maybe we're not expecting it. When he reveals new truth to us through his word, well, we should be ready to receive that and move out and go in the way that we're supposed to. But it's all about him. It's about his will. Turn over now to Matthew 6. If your finger's been there, you're probably getting a blue finger by now. But Matthew 6, Jesus gives us, really, it's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's really not a prayer that the Lord prayed. It's really not even a prayer per se, but it is a model of prayer. It's a format, if you will. And in fact, in verse 9 there, Matthew 6, Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. You see that? He didn't say, pray these words. He said, in this manner, pray. Pray along these lines, another translation makes it out. This is the direction. This is kind of the way that we're supposed to be praying like. Pray in this manner. And in this, we get a real good idea of what this communication is supposed to be like and what it's supposed to involve. In the rest of verse 9, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So as we open up our prayer, Jesus is saying, very first thing is recognize he's our Father in heaven. See, acknowledge the relationship. He's our Father. He's God Almighty. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. But also he's our Father. He has adopted us. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, then you have been adopted into his family, and he is now your Father. So it's not just that he knows everything. He's the great God in heaven someplace out there. But he is that great God who has also adopted us, you and I, as his kids. And so knowing that he is in heaven, he is God and knows everything, and tying that in with the fact that he loves us so much, see, then that's an awesome way to begin your prayer, because then you know that, yes, he knows everything, but he's so concerned about me, he loves me. Well, yeah, I can get into this prayer. I can be talking. I can be ready to receive from him, because if I get some direction in prayer, then I know it's going to be good for me because, hey, he loves me. I'm his kid. He knows what he's talking about, but he loves me. He cares about me. And so we get this acknowledgement of the relationship, but he also says, hallowed be your name. And that's another aspect of prayer, praise and worship. As we have been singing and praising and worshiping him in song, see, that's a good thing. But our prayers, our whole lives really should be filled with praise and worship. I mean, if you have been born again, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've come to that understanding of knowing what he has done for you and how much you and I don't deserve what he did for us. Oh, once you understand that, oh gosh, you can't shut up. You can't help but praise him because of that. And that should come out in our prayer. Praise and worship should be part of our prayer life. And then in verse 10, and this is real clear, he's right, the very next thing, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I got a question for you. How many of you have prayed that? Lord, I want your will to be done. How many have prayed that? I prayed it. I got another question for you. And you don't have to raise your hand, but answer this in the heart of your hearts. Have you meant it? Did you mean that? Lord, I want your will to be done on earth, here, right now, as it is in heaven. Okay? Now, unfortunately, a lot of people will pray that, but what they mean is, your will, Lord, be done everywhere on earth, except in my life, because I want to do my own thing. That happens a lot, folks. And we need to check ourselves. Because, see, when we're praying that, what we really ought to be thinking is, Lord, I want your will to be done on earth here, just like it's done in heaven. And, Lord, start with me. Start with my life. As an individual who loves you, Lord, start with me. I want your will in my life. And wherever you send me, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever ministry you have for me, whatever, Lord, I want to do that. Because I want your will to be done right here, right now, just like it's being done in heaven. That's where our heart should be. Verse 11 goes on, Jesus says that we should be praying, give us this day our daily bread. And that is supplication. That's asking for our personal needs, but asking for those needs on a daily basis. He didn't say, give us this month our monthly bread, right? See, the deal is, he wants us to be in constant communication, daily bread. So you've at least got to pray at least once a day. Okay? But he wants more than that. But the deal is here is that he wants us to be dependent on him. He wants us to constantly come to him and recognize that he is the one who will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He wants us to depend upon him as a child depends upon their father. See, we recognize, oh, Lord, yeah, you are supplying my needs. Now, you may be thinking out there going, hey, man, I have to work for my daily bread. You know, he hasn't floated it down on a parachute or anything. Well, that's true. And really, that's the way it should be as far as you should be working for it. Because the Bible says that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And what this means is what we're to be praying under normal circumstances is, Lord, give me the strength, give me the health, give me the opportunity to earn my daily bread. And if circumstances, you know, come to be such that you're not able to earn your bread, then maybe God will provide it supernaturally. If you ever get a chance to read the autobiography of George Mueller, just an awesome book. And this guy prayed and God did meet his needs, but not just his own needs. He ran a bunch of orphanages in England. And God would supernaturally supply the needs of every child there. And they never went hungry. It's just an awesome thing, the way that God was able to do that. He's still able to do that and wants to do that in our lives. We need to be dependent on him. That's faith, folks. Trusting him. Lord, I will obey you. I will do what you have for me because I want your will in my life. And Lord, I want to see your hand move in my life. And Lord, I'm going to thank you when you provide because I recognize you're meeting my daily needs. But then in verse 12, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, we're to keep short accounts with God. Remember, we're praying this at least once a day. We're praying along these lines. And so as we're praying, some of our prayers should be, Lord, forgive me. Because if you're anything like me, you mess up from time to time, don't you? Every 5 minutes or so, you know. Yeah, I mean, we all fall short of the glory of God. First John tells us, if you say you don't have sin, you're a liar, the truth's not in you. We all mess up, even if it's those thoughts that we ought not to have from time to time. We need to bring them before the Lord. We need to confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to be constantly going before him when we find ourselves messed up. Don't let that just go on and on and on in our lives. Just stop, repent, and just go to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. But he also says, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. In other words, make sure you remember to forgive other people. God doesn't want bitterness in our lives. He doesn't want resentment. He doesn't want things in our hearts that would cause us to hate one another, cause us to cut off fellowship, cause us to end up not being an accurate representation of Him. See, He's forgiven us. He went to the cross. In fact, while He was being nailed on the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Well, we were doing our worst to Him. He did His best for us. And He forgave us. And we're to be like Him. That's what Christian means. It means to be Christ-like. So we were to accurately represent Him. In verse 13, He says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." See, this is asking for that direction, for deliverance, you know, relying on His power to deliver us. But also, notice here, it started with it, and now it's ending with praise and worship, acknowledging who He is. "Yours, Lord, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That's kind of the along the lines of how God wants us to be praying. Now, you might be saying, "Well, I don't always know what to pray for." And you know what the Bible tells us? That we don't always. And a lot of times we don't. But notice here, back in Ephesians 6, verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Now, Jude 20 uses that same phrase about praying in the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes people will say, "Well, does that mean tongues?" I don't know. Does that mean you're supposed to be, you know, to pray in the Spirit? Does that mean praying in tongues? Well, you know, it could, but then it might not. Turn over to Romans 8, if you will. And I know we're flipping around a lot today, but Romans 8, verses 26 and 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Notice, when the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, interceding on our behalf, He knows what God's heart is. He knows what the mind of God is, because He is God. And He can intercede for us and pray according to the will of the Father, because He knows the mind of the Father. But in verse 26, it says that He Himself, okay, not us, but He Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Tongues, folks, are groanings which are uttered. And I wouldn't even call them groanings. They're actually languages that the Bible says they're either languages of men or of angels. And they are words that are uttered. Well, here, they're groanings that cannot be uttered. And they're being made not by us, which tongues are utterances that are made by us, but these utterances are made by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I don't know. But the deal is, He knows how to pray for us. Because there are those times, all of us have been there, where we're really not sure how to pray. Because we don't know. "Well, God, do you want me to go here? Do you want me to go there? I'm not sure. It seems like some of the things are lining up for me to go here, but it also seems like this over here. Lord, I don't know." And there are those times where something bad has happened, and you're not sure how to pray, and you just, "Lord, you know. You know what's going on. Lord, please help." Well, then you can count on the Holy Spirit making intercession for you. The Scripture says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. That's such an awesome thing to know, that He's that involved in our lives. But in 1 Corinthians 14, you can turn there if you want, or we'll have it up here on the board. You know, here's something else that kind of uses that a similar expression in verse 12. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12 says, "Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now you see, there, my spirit prays, right? It's me doing the praying, but it's my spirit that prays. And then in verse 15, he says, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, 'Amen,' at our giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So using that phrase, I'll pray with the Spirit, Paul is referring to using tongues there. And whatever this is, and understand this, you know, this is one of those hot buttons within the church. There, you know, no doubt everybody here, or most people here, have some kind of an opinion as to tongues. Are they for today or not? And folks, I beg you that whatever you've been taught, be ready to say, you know what, maybe I need to revisit this issue. Maybe I need to relook at what God's Word says, because it really doesn't matter what some guy 5, 10 years ago, 20 years ago told you. And you know, well, he's an okay guy. I'll go ahead and receive that. But what matters is what the Word of God says, doesn't it? And there are those that teach that tongues are not for today. Well, if that's your position, I would challenge you, find one scripture that says that. It's not there. But as we just read, that how they're to be handled within the church is something that we need to look at. And you, if you've been here for any length of time, you know, you've never heard anybody speaking in tongues on Sunday morning or on Wednesday nights. I don't think that's a place for it. I don't think that's what we're to meet here for. And as you go on in 1 Corinthians 14, you'll see that, and in fact, he even mentioned it there in that passage that we just read, that why we meet here is for edification, for being built up, for going out of here, taking something that we did not have when we came in. That's what edification is. Understanding how to walk with the Lord better by being here. And if everybody's speaking in tongues, then it's chaotic. In fact, he says if everybody speaks in tongues, somebody comes in and doesn't know what's going on, aren't they going to think you're nuts? And you know what? They will. When we first got saved, my wife and I got saved by reading the Word. And my wife got saved by seeing what God did in me. And after about 6 years of being a Christian, I was 19 years old at this point, and I was going through the New Testament now for the second time. We were trying to find a church that taught that the Bible was the Word of God, and that would just teach it plainly. And it was like, I felt like Goldilocks and Three Bears. Ooh, this church is too weird this way. Ooh, this church is too weird that way. You know? And we went to this one church, and you know, the Sunday morning service, I was like, okay, this is cool. Let's come on back tonight, babe. You know, they're having a prayer meeting and Bible study. Let's do that. So we came back and the pastor taught for maybe 10, 15 minutes. He says, okay, now let's all stand up and pray. So, okay, so I put my Bible down, you know, stood up, bowed my head, you know, closed my eyes. Come on, let's all pray. And I'm thinking, I am. It's like, come on now, everybody pray. I'm like, shut up, man, I am. You know? And then he says, come on, everybody pray with tongues. That's the best way to pray. And like inside my head, it was like, danger, Will Robinson, danger. And I reached down, picked up my Bible, turned it to 1 Corinthians 14. I think it's around verse 40 where he talks about two, at the most three, and that by interpretation. And if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. I think tongues is for today. And I think in your prayer closet, absolutely, great. Driving down the road, great. You know, use it there, kind of thing. Within the church, we need to seek for edification. And we got out of that place right there because, hey, you know, this is two or three. This, look, man, let's go. And so the deal is, whatever your position is, look at some of the scriptures. And if you want to talk to me afterwards and tell me I'm wrong, okay, but just have the scriptures there. You know, open the Bible, point, and say, look, this is what the Word of God says. And I'm willing to change my position if I'm wrong. I don't think I am. But if you can show me, you know, a scripture that says, no, it's not for today, well, okay. But the deal is this what he's talking about, praying always in the Spirit? Does it mean tongues? I don't think so. You know, because doing anything in the Spirit can just mean by the power and the leading of the Spirit. And whenever you're praying according to His will, well, you're being led by the Spirit at that point, aren't you? When you're praying in the name of Jesus, and really mean it, really that you're praying as if Jesus was right here praying for the same thing. Okay, you're praying according to His will. You're praying in His name. Well, you're being led by the Spirit there. You're praying by the power and the authority that the Holy Spirit brings of using Jesus' name. I can tell you what not in the Spirit means. I'll guarantee you, this is what it does not mean. It's what James talks about in James 4:3, where he says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. See, that's carnal prayer. That's not in the Spirit. I'll guarantee you, that's what it isn't. All right? Doing that, praying for stuff just selfishly. God's not into that. And God's not going to honor that. But he goes on here and says, you know, pray in prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. That, folks, is something that we really need to think about, because we need to be watchful. We need, and I like the way the NIV translates that part of the verse, where it says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We need to be watchful. We need to be alert. Because, you know, folks, some people aren't. And they have no clue when they're under spiritual attack. If we are in that constant communication and we're being alert, which means that you are aware of what's going on around you, and you're putting everything that's going on around you in its proper spiritual context. Example, you know, you and your spouse, if you're married, or if, say, you and your mom or dad start fighting, start getting into an argument, and you going back and forth. See, if you stop, if you're watchful, if you're aware of the spiritual dynamic that's going on there, you put this setting, this thing that's going on in your life in the spiritual context, well, then you understand. Well, wait a minute. God says, let's say in my case, if I'm fighting with my wife, and I, you know, I would never do that, okay? And I'm sure none of you would, right? We would never get in an argument. I mean, that 20, 30 years now, we've never done it. I repent, Lord. But when that's happening, see, if I'm being alert, if I'm being watchful, then I say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. This is, remember we talked about this, about the fiery darts of the enemy? Lord, this is one of those fiery darts. The enemy's trying to burn me down. He is trying to get me all focused on me. Well, you can't say that to me, man. You know, it was one of those fiery darts. Hey, you going to let her get away with that? You see the way that she talked to you? That's a fiery dart, folks. And he wants to burn you down. And you need to say, well, wait a minute. That is not from the Lord. That's from the other guy. Lord, I'm sorry. And so if you're watchful and you're praying to this end, you're alert, you realize this is an attack from the enemy. This is something that he's trying to get me to do what God doesn't want me to do. I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And if I'm loving her, then that means that I'm going to be thinking of her, not of me. See, love doesn't seek its own. I'm not going to be out for mine. This is what I want. No, if I'm being led by the Spirit, then I'm going to want to bless her. I'm going to want what's best for her, not me. You know, I'm going to be concerned with those things that God is concerned with in my life. And I should be praying, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me, Lord, now to love her as I should. Help me to do what I'm supposed to do as a man of God, as a husband who is supposed to be loving his wife. Lord, help me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And now help me to do what I'm supposed to be doing, because it's not about me. And I pray for her too. Pray on her behalf. But it doesn't matter if she responds to the Lord at that point or not. I'm still supposed to do what I'm supposed to do, see? And so praying and being observant, alert, watchful, so that I understand that these things that are happening, there's a spiritual context there. And I need to be alert and aware and put those things there and respond to them in that way. Because when you start sinning, folks, it's because you haven't been aware. It's because you're not watchful in that point. And you need to stop. Again, forgive us this day our daily bread. Or forgive us our debts. You know, forgive me, Lord, right now. I'm sorry. And then move on. And now, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. But he says to do that with all perseverance. We can't stop. We can't stop watching and praying. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us we can't stop because he tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You can't give up, folks. Satan wants to eat you up. You have to understand, yes, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But we have to be alert and put these things in the right context and then respond to them in the way that God wants us to respond to them. Respond to them spiritually and praying along those lines. And praying, you know, that supplication he says here for all the saints, that's, you know, that we're making those requests, those petitions on behalf of our brothers and sisters, our fellow soldiers. And again, not all about you, but it's, you know, be concerned about those people that you're going to be spending eternity with. And folks, if we understand that we're in this battle together and that we need to stay constantly alert, watching and putting those things in the right context and praying always for each other, for ourselves. And if we're ready to receive those new orders, the direction that God has for us and willing to obey, oh, Lord, he's just going to move in our lives. And we're going to see some real victory happening. We're going to see him use us in ways that you never thought possible. That's my prayer for myself and for you. Let's stand up and pray right now. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this direction.